complicated to manufacture the gene therapy.
We could get the research to Telluris, Gates suggested.
Looking pointedly at Donovan, Kaylee replied, I'm not willing to turn anything over to the Alliance. Gates looked confused, but Donovan answered,
Nor would I expect you to, at least not until we have some answers.
Kaylee nodded, But we have to do something. There are innocent people suffering.
Donovan rubbed his temples. Ideas, he asked. Actually, I do have an idea, Derek answered. When we were looking for a way onto Mira, I found someone on Bai Shan who'd been producing therapeutic drugs for the Drakkarans. She has the facility and the expertise. It's a risk. No one working on Bai Shan has much of a moral compass, but they understand profit and opportunity.
How would we get the research there and set up the deal? Kaylee asked.
I'll do it, Sean answered, and all eyes turned to him. I'll leave before we jump out of this system. Derek can give me his contact's information, and I'll take it from there. This would be an unauthorized action, Donovan said. I can't access Alliance funds, or even acknowledge your mission, not while we're still in a combat situation, and not until I understand fully what's happened.
Looking between Derek and Sean, he sighed.
But I think it's the right thing to do.
Sean nodded.
I understand. I have my own network of contacts and resources.
Well, we're jumping in 4 hours, Donovan said. Sean caught Kaylee's eye.
I'll get this done, he promised.
Kaylee stayed behind in the infirmary when Derek and Donovan left to begin working on tactical strategies. She helped Sean get ready, checking him one last time. A part of her wished she could go with him and help complete the development of the drug therapy, but as much as she wanted to see the project through, she needed to go home to Almagest. Her place was with her people.
I've thanked everyone else for saving me, but I haven't had a chance to thank you, Kaylee, Sean said.
I'm so relieved you're all right. It's one thing to work in a hospital or clinic when there's equipment and other people backing you up, and quite another in the middle of nowhere. How are you feeling now?
Good as new, he said.
She put a hand on his arm. I never had the chance to thank you for saving Dysa.
It was the right thing to do, he answered.
It couldn't have been easy, going against your orders.
Nothing about this war has been easy. Sometimes I have to do the wrong thing for the right reason. Reyes didn't want to save that little girl. He wanted to use her. I knew it in my gut. Wrong thing, wrong reason.
She's okay.
She is. She knows we're hiding her from bad people who want to make her do things with her gift. I just didn't tell her who all the bad people were.
You're married, Kaylee asked, casting a sideways glance at him.
He raised his eyebrows at her, and she laughed.
Sorry, I'm just curious.
I am. I didn't intend to be, not while I was still so deep undercover, but when we met. I just knew, he shrugged.
I understand completely. Derek literally crashed in my backyard. Well, outside my cave, in the forest, where I was hiding out from a genocidal maniac. But when you know, you know.
They both laughed.
As the light-hearted moment passed, she held his gaze.
Be careful, Sean. You too, Kaylee. If I don't make it, this is where they are. You'll know if and when it's safe to contact them, he said, giving her the name and coordinates of a small, non-alliance world. It's a relatively stable colony, but no one asks questions the way they do on member worlds.
You'd better make it back to them.
I didn't work this hard saving you, only to have you go and get killed delivering medical data, she said. I'll do my best, he promised.
When Sean left, Kaylee went into Gates' empty office, sat heavily on his chair, and dropped her face into her hands.
Derek, Chapter 25. Horizon detected 5 Drakkaran battlecruisers just outside Almagest's perimeter alert network. To Derek's relief, the ship's stealth shield and its untested counter-stealth technology performed flawlessly. Horizon passed into low orbit without attracting unwanted attention. He and Kaylee stood together in the operations center of Almagest's military compound, with Finn and the newly elected president, Ben Glass.
An Amathi, civilian engineer before the war, Ben had married Kaylee's childhood friend Leah. In addition to their son Jamie, who was now a precocious 3-year-old, they were raising the orphaned nephews of John, one of the martyred resistance leaders. In Derek's experience, the first officials elected after a conflict tended to be people who had somehow been involved in the struggle. Ben had been captured and tortured by Marcus during the tail end of the Civil War, and he still wore scars from that trauma. The public felt grateful, sympathetic even, toward those who had sacrificed for the cause, but the qualities that made successful resistance members often didn't translate into good political leaders. In this case, though, Ben might actually make a solid president, Derek thought, if Almagest survived long enough to give him the chance. He'd grown to appreciate the man as intelligent, diplomatic, and well-spoken. Derek valued Ben's quiet strength, now more than ever as they prepared for yet another conflict on this war-torn world. "We have an advantage for a limited amount of time," Derek explained. "We know the Drakkaran positions. If we hit them now, with a coordinated strike, we'll catch them by surprise." "What's the downside?" Ben asked. "It's a big one," Derek admitted. "We've got Horizon and her fighter squadron, the Aquila and the Almagest fleet, which consists of 2 cruisers and 6 squadrons of very new pilots. More Alliance vessels are on the way, but if we do this, the fight will be well underway when they get here."
"If we wait, we lose the element of surprise," Ben said.
"Yes, and we have no idea when they're planning to engage. It could be at any moment. They may be waiting for more ships to arrive, or just gathering intel on our defenses. What's your recommendation?"
"I think we should hit them hard as soon as possible. With 5 battlecruisers, they have the advantage. If they engage before our reinforcements arrive, we're in trouble. If we can hurt them first, we'll even things out a bit."
"Alliance Command agrees?" Ben asked. Derek felt for Ben. His first major decision as president was going to plunge his planet back into war. "They've given the green light to support any tactical decisions you make. They know we're here and they're not." Ben closed his eyes and ran a hand over his face.
"Do it. You have my authorization to engage."
"Yes, sir," Derek said.
"I thought my first big project was going to be overhauling the education system," Ben muttered to himself.
Kaylee put a hand on his shoulder.
"Typically, the Drakkarans don't send ground forces until they've established control over the airspace, but they're out of time and desperate," Derek said, turning to Finn.
"You need to be ready."
"We will be," Finn answered.
Derek blew out a deep breath.
"Okay, let's do this. Lieutenant Varone, I need visual on all ships. Mattis, give me comms," he ordered.
Over the table in front of him, a 3-dimensional real-time rendering of Almagest, her moons, and the ships in orbit appeared. On several large flat screens around the room, each command ship had its own monitor with enhanced details.
"Horizon, this is Almagest Control. Transmit coordinates for all Drakkaran ships."
"Roger that. Coordinates streaming now."
Derek recognized Riley on the other end of the comm, and felt nostalgically reassured by her familiar voice.
"Okay, here they are," he said, watching new forms blink to life on the model.
"The Drakkarans can't see Horizon because of her stealth shielding, but they'll be able to track everyone else's movements. We need to get into position before they realize what's happening."
Seconds after he input all the data, Derek had targeting positions for the ships. Opening his comm link, he said,
"Attention, all ships! Proceed to new coordinates and hold for my order."
While the ships moved, tense silence enveloped the room. Next to him, Kaylee brushed her hand over his. He felt her body stiffen. Seconds turned into minutes. Derek paced back and forth in front of the monitors. Finally, Varone spoke.
"Sir, they're in position."
Derek looked at Ben, who gave a solemn nod.
"All ships, engage targets. Repeat, engage targets," Derek ordered.
The monitors lit up with a brilliant display of flashing colors. Derek wasn't used to being on the ground while a battle raged above him. He paced between the screens and the central display. Sweat trickled down his neck and his damp shirt clung to his back. He knew Kaylee was worried about him, but her own tension and angst kept her preoccupied. Almagest's fighter squadrons were taking heavy casualties, but they'd still managed to cripple the Drakkaran ship they were attacking. As frustrating as it was not to be flying his own fighter, Derek was able to see the whole picture and feed tactical information to all the ships. When one Drakkaran cruiser began inching its way closer to orbit, Derek leaned over Varone's shoulder. "Project our course," he ordered. The young lieutenant ran the calculations and turned to Derek. "They're heading for low orbital insertion." "Damn it! What's wrong?" Ben asked. "They're gonna try to land troops on the ground," Derek answered. "Alpha Squadron, pursue and engage that battlecruiser. Varone, send them the new course heading." "Sir, you want us to change our target?" the Alpha Squadron leader asked. "Affirmative. Watch for landing craft and fighter escorts." "Derek, what do you see?" Donovan's voice interrupted. "They've got a ship on course for low orbit. They're trying to get troops on the ground." "Cat, follow Alpha," Donovan ordered. "Horizon can finish off this target." "Yes, sir," Cat answered. Derek watched the fighters alter course to intercept the largest Drakkaran battleship, but not before 12 transport ships and dozens of Drakkaran fighters had launched from the cruiser. "Mattis, get me Major Braden," Derek said. "Finn," Derek shouted into the comm. "We're not going to be able to take them all out." "Copy that. We'll move ground forces to intercept," Finn answered. "Varone, keep track of any ship that breaks through and send that information to Major Braden." "Yes, sir." Derek turned his attention back to Cat's team and Alpha Squadron, now engaged in a fast-moving firefight with the Drakkarans. "Derek, we can't target the transport ships yet," Cat warned him. "These fighters are keeping us too busy." "I can't divert anyone else. Stay in it," he said. Kaylee, who had been standing beside a very ashen-faced Ben, moved next to Derek and took his hand. "We just have to buy a little more time," he said to her. "They can do a lot of damage in a little time," Kaylee replied. "I know." For 18 months, Derek had worked to build Almagest's fleet. His job wasn't only to oversee the physical construction of ships, but also to help build the human element, to work with Finn, and essentially turn a ruthless dictator's former army into a group of soldiers committed to protecting and defending all Almagest's people. Most of the commanders who'd been devoted to Marcus's extremist vision were killed in the war. Derek was left with mainly bewildered young men and women, or actual members of the resistance movement itself. Together with the civilian government, they'd worked to give Almagest a new vision for itself. He trained his group of pilots hard and demanded excellence, but also cared deeply for them. Now, relatively safe in the underground bunker he'd repurposed as a command center, Derek watched and listened as those same pilots were torn apart by the Drakkarans. On the ground, Finn's forces engaged the heavily armed, well-trained Drakkaran troops. While Almagest soldiers outnumbered the Drakkarans, enemy drones cut into them with deadly results. Kaylee trembled beside Derek. He knew she could feel their terror and suffering viscerally. "I have to do something," she whispered. "You can't. Not yet," he said. When the battleship Endeavor, the first of its kind in the Almagest fleet, disappeared from the grid, Derek slammed his fist onto the table. In the stunned seconds that followed, another voice cut in over the comm. "This is Captain Morgan Amari of the Alliance battleship Libertas. How can we help?" Relief poured through Derek. He ran a hand through his damp hair. "Captain, glad to have you. The Aquila could use a hand finishing off her target, and we need air support on the ground. All our squadrons are engaged, and we are taking heavy casualties down here." "Roger that. Almagest control. We're coming." Kaylee, Chapter 26. 6 hours later, it was over. Another Alliance cruiser joined the fight shortly after the Libertas, and by the end, only one Drakkaran warship survived to surrender. As soon as she could leave the bunker, Kaylee raced to the newly constructed military hospital, well equipped for trauma, but soon to be overrun with casualties. Before she left, Derek pulled her into a fierce embrace, burying his head in her neck, as physically and emotionally exhausted as Kaylee had ever seen him. She held his face in her hands.
"We lost so many," he said.
"You can't do anything for the dead, but the living need you," she said.
"I know."
He held her a moment longer. She could feel his mind working hard to bury his emotions, to lock them away so he could do what he had to do. When she entered the chaos of the hospital, she had to do the same. The smell of blood and death assaulted her. Bodies writhed on stretchers as the staff worked furiously to triage and treat the worst of the injured. A familiar face caught her eye.
"Janna,"
she called over the noise. When Kaylee had first come to Alamath after the attack on her home, she'd been allowed to work in the civilian hospital. Janna, a doctor herself and later a resistance member, had befriended Kaylee.
"Kaylee," the young woman rushed over. "I heard they'd found you. Are you all right?"
"I am," she said, hugging her friend.
"This is a disaster," Janna said, tears filling her eyes.
Kaylee could only nod in acknowledgement.
"Where do you need me?" "They're coming in through the trauma center. Take the next critical case," Janna said,
before heading back into the swirl of activity. She turned back to Kaylee.
"I'm so glad you're safe."
As she went to work on her first patient, Kaylee recognized the devastating damage caused by the Drakkaran drones. The soldier's abdomen was shredded, his intestines spilling out in a wet, bloody mess. Another young soldier had his hands clamped over the wound. The panic on the young man's face and the ashen color of his skin told Kaylee he was in shock himself.
"Keep pressure and stay with me. I'm going to need your help," she instructed him, her voice gentle but firm.
Wide-eyed, he nodded. With her inner vision, Kaylee scanned her patient. The rest of his body was untouched, but the drone's firepower had nearly cut him in half.
"He's in bad shape and bleeding out. First thing, we're going to transfuse him," Kaylee said,
knowing her voice kept the other soldier from slipping into a darkness she knew all too well.
"What's your name?" she asked while quickly setting up the plasma infuser.
A steady flow of artificial blood pumped into her patient's arm.
"Cole. Nathan Cole," he answered.
"Nathan, I'm Kaylee," she said.
"I know, ma'am."
Kaylee glanced at him. Everyone on the planet knew who she was, but the reality of that fact still surprised her.
"Okay, Nathan, I'm going to work on his internal injuries now. You can stay right where you are."
She repaired his spleen first, and then moved on to his stomach and intestines. By some miracle, his spinal column had been spared. The work left her sweaty and fatigued, but using her gift was faster than surgery, and there wasn't time to spare. Once she'd repaired his critical injuries, she used tissue glue to knit his torn skin together. Satisfied she hadn't missed anything, she allowed herself a moment to breathe.
"It's amazing what you can do," Nathan said,
stepping back and wiping his bloody, shaking hands on his pants.
"I'm glad I was here for him," she answered.
"Me too."
"Nathan, I have to go take care of more patients, but you should stay,"
Kaylee touched his arm gently.
"I will," he promised.
Some color had returned to his face, and his expression was no longer as dazed and horrified as it had been a few moments ago.
"We'll get through this," she said.
Eyes bright with unshed tears, Nathan looked between his still unconscious friend and Kaylee. Clearing his throat, he said,
"Thank you, ma'am."
Hours later, the steady flow of injured slowed to a trickle. Kaylee's body was ready to shut down. Sluggish, she tended to one last patient whose injuries she could manage without using her gift. When she turned around, Finn stood leaning against the wall. They stared at one another for a brief second. Their friendship and shared history made words unnecessary. When he pulled her into an embrace, the flood of emotions she'd carefully walled off broke through, and she collapsed, sobbing, onto his chest. Waves of his grief and exhaustion melded with hers as they clung to each other.
"Anya and Sari are safe?" she asked when she could speak again.
Finn's wife and new baby daughter had taken shelter with Ben's family in a separate underground bunker.
"Yes," he answered. "And Jason?"
Finn's second-in-command, Jason, had been a resistance fighter from the start.
"He's okay, too."
Kaylee breathed a sigh of relief.
"Maybe this is the last time we have to do this, Finn."
"It has to be, Kaylee," he answered,
as if his intentions could will it to be so. They both wiped their faces and tried to compose themselves.
You're exhausted. Go home and get some rest.
This will all be here tomorrow.
You too, Finn. Soon, he promised. Home.
She entered the kitchen and closed her eyes. Empty silence greeted her. A coating of dust covered the counters and a vaguely stale smell hung in the air. It seemed like a lifetime ago that she and Derek had stood here, making dinner and talking about their day. They'd settled into a life together. He'd loved working with the young pilots. His enthusiasm for flying matched theirs, and he'd come home each day, tired and satisfied. For Kaylee, her work rebuilding Alma Guest's infrastructure, integrating the Navali into the mainstream life in Alamath, and helping her planet heal from the trauma of war, had been exhausting and frustrating, but always rewarding. Cautiously, her people had been becoming whole again. Now they had to endure another devastating blow. Not much damage had been done within the city proper. The Drakkaran ships needed open space to drop their troops, and the bloody fighting had mostly occurred on the outskirts of town. The price of this battle had been paid with precious human lives. The world felt like it had shifted under her feet again, just like the morning Navalis was attacked. Disoriented and numb, Kaylee wandered through the small apartment. She found herself in the bedroom, sank onto the bed, and buried her face in Derek's pillow. She woke to his body pressed against hers, his mouth on hers, his emotions pouring into her mind unfiltered. Potent anger and a deep, cavernous grief washed through her. Beneath those, urgent desire. He wanted to lose himself in her, and she let him. The heat built between them, and with their thoughts linked, his need amplified her own. When release came, it felt as if her body had shattered. Spent and shivering, he held her, one hand tangled in her hair, the other tracing gentle circles on the damp skin of her back. His frenetic, intense thoughts had tempered, but the darkness still lingered there, brushing against Kaylee's mind. "The day the Carina was attacked was the worst day of my life," he murmured to her. "I thought you were dead, and nothing mattered if you were gone." Kaylee listened. Intimately connected to Derek, she felt most of what he kept walled off in his mind, but those were broad feelings, not specifics. Even with Derek, she was careful not to violate the privacy of his thoughts. He fell silent, but Kaylee knew he was struggling to put words to his emotions. "After all I've seen and done throughout this war, today might be the second worst day. We lost so much in the blink of an eye. I know we can rebuild the ships, but those kids..." His voice broke and trailed off. Kaylee listened to his heartbeat and held him. "I lost 3/4 of my pilots and all hands on the Endeavor. They were under my command. I sent them out there. Their lives were my responsibility." Leaning up on one elbow, Kaylee put her other hand on Derek's cheek. "The Drakkarans were coming to invade this world. All of us, pilots, soldiers, civilians, we all would have defended our home, whether you were here or not." He squeezed his eyes shut. "But I made the call to take the first shot. What if the right thing was to wait? Maybe we wouldn't have lost so many."
Kaylee understood the danger in his thinking.
She knew the exercise only led to more agony and self-doubt. "What if the Drakkarans attacked before reinforcements arrived, and they were at full strength? We would have lost even more, maybe the whole planet. You can't ever know what might have happened. It's hard, but try not to go there, Derek. It leads to a dark place."
"I know," he said. She brushed her lips over his. "Let me do something for you, something you've done for me so many times."
Forcing the recent images of trauma and death from her mind, she focused on something else. They'd spent the better part of the year working with hardly any downtime. Derek urged her to take a few days off. When she finally acquiesced, she knew just where she wanted to go. Instead of hiking for a month through the pristine forest, Derek flew her there in just under 3 hours. Commanding the fleet had its perks, he'd told her. She knew the exact section of the beach on site, and he'd landed there. It was just how she remembered it,
white sand meeting frothy waves, blue-green water blending with sky on the horizon, sunlight sparkling off the surface. They'd stood for a moment, lost in their own memories of the place. This was where they'd first met, where Kaylee had pulled Derek from his wrecked ship and risked herself to save him. Now, scrub brush and other wild vegetation covered the scar in the earth made by Derek's ship when it crashed. They hiked to her hidden cave deeper in the woods. Kaylee knew the path. Some of her supplies, the things she'd gathered over weeks in hiding, were still there. Standing at the mouth of the cave, Derek kissed her long and hard. "When I opened my eyes, and you were looking back at me with your hands on me, healing me, I knew everything would be okay. He'd been so badly injured that she'd been terrified she wouldn't be able to save him. While he'd recovered, they'd been alone here, away from the turmoil of both their worlds. It felt like stolen time. She'd shared her memories with him, forming a bond between them that was intimate and enduring. When they'd finally made love, it was in this cave, and then again on the beach, and then in as many places as they could, knowing time would run out for them long before they were ready to let go of each other. The beach had been their favorite. The warmth of the sun against their skin, hot sand between their toes, the water lapping against the shoreline with a rhythm almost like a heartbeat. "Sleep, Derek," Kaylee whispered, trailing her fingertips along the line of his jaw. The sound of waves echoed in their minds, and they inhaled the tangy scent of seawater, as real as if they were standing on the shore.
Derek, Chapter 27. Over the next few days, Derek sat with every grieving family, listened to countless stories, held sobbing mothers. Because there were so many dead, one memorial service was held to honor them all. Derek spoke, along with Ben Glass. The lost soldiers and pilots were hailed as heroes. They had saved the planet and helped to end a decades-long interplanetary war. But at the end of the day, they were still gone, and no amount of ceremony could ease that loss. Derek barely saw Kaylee. She spent most nights at the hospital, working herself to exhaustion and grabbing a few hours of sleep in the staff room. If she wasn't at the hospital, she was with Marta and Navi, healing the accumulating damage in the boy's fragile body. Derek understood her need to keep moving, to work until her body simply shut down. Falling into bed utterly exhausted each night kept his own grief at bay. His days ran long into the evenings anyway. While the loss of life had been devastating, all the infrastructure on the planet remained intact. Plans for rebuilding the ships and hardware, and even recruiting new pilots, began immediately. Horizon had suffered significant damage during the battle and had to land on Almagest for several weeks of repairs. On the rare evenings Derek found himself free, he'd meet up with Kat and Drew, and they'd drink themselves numb. With all his attention focused on Almagest's recovery, Derek paid little attention to the greater political climate, until one evening Captain Donovan asked to meet him privately. Donovan brought an expensive bottle of ale to the apartment. "Kaylee's not here," he asked. "At the hospital," Derek answered, procuring two glasses. They sat across from one another at the kitchen table. "How are you, Derek?" Donovan asked. From his tone, Derek suspected Donovan knew the answer already. Although technically they were now equal in rank, the older man had been Derek's commanding officer for over a decade. At this point in Derek's life, Donovan knew him better than his own father. Derek swirled his glass, staring into the amber liquid. "It never gets easier to lose people under your command, and it never should. The day it does is the day we get out," Donovan said. He took a long drink and leaned back heavily in the chair. "If it helps, I would have made the same call, to hit them first." Derek looked up with more relief than he probably should have felt. He'd had to make impossible decisions before, involving himself, his team, even Kaylee, but sending all those young men and women into combat when he knew most of them wouldn't come back, that was a new experience. "I asked them to sacrifice themselves. It might feel different if I'd been out there with them."
"That's the real burden of leadership, Derek, the part most people don't understand.
We'll put ourselves in harm's way, but asking others to do it is something else entirely. There wasn't anything more to say about the subject. Derek tossed back his drink and poured himself another. He knew Donovan hadn't requested this meeting only to talk about his questionable mental health. "What's going on?" he asked. Donovan ran a hand over his face. "Something's happening on Corleone. There's serious political unrest." "Already? That didn't take them long." "The information I have suggests that Reyes and Minister Bonaire are at odds. Reyes wants to go after the remainder of the Dracarans and wipe them out." Raising his eyebrows, Derek shrugged. "Not sure I entirely disagree with him." Even with what he knew about the Alliance's deception early in the war, Derek couldn't deny how ruthless an enemy the Dracarans had been, and would likely be again if they were allowed time to disappear and regroup. The thought had the potential to keep him up at night. "The Dracarans who surrendered are being interrogated. They're saying they're the last of their military fleet, and the only survivors now are 6 civilians, most of whom are children." "Do you believe them?" Derek asked. Donovan sighed. "They're on Dorsha." Derek winced. Dorsha was one of the Alliance's dirty secrets, a black hole of a prison facility. The advanced interrogation techniques used there could squeeze the truth from a stone. "The minister wants to offer asylum to the non-combatants," Donovan said. "And Reyes doesn't," Derek finished for him. "No, he's trying to convince the Assembly that the Dracarans are somehow lying, and he's making a vehement case that we should finish the job or live to regret it." "How is the Assembly reacting?" "So far they're standing behind the minister, but I think they're shaky." "Shaky? About committing genocide? What the fuck? The Dracarans surrendered. They want asylum for their 6 civilians. How is this even a discussion?" But he knew why it was a discussion. The Alliance had been at war with the Dracarans for a long time, sacrificing hundreds of thousands of people. As admiral of the Alliance fleet, Reyes was the commanding officer who'd finally served up victory. If he said the Dracarans still posed a threat, people would be inclined to believe him. Derek went still. "What are you planning to do?" "I'm not sure yet. Horizon still isn't flight-worthy, but I do have a secure communication set up with Bonaire in the morning to deliver the intel about Reyes. We'll be putting her in a dangerous position without any proof," replied Donovan, worried. "We have to find a way to verify Caron's account about Arendal." "Agreed. I'll advise her to keep this information in the strictest confidence and see what she wants us to do," Donovan said, finishing his drink and standing. "We aren't going to figure this out tonight, and you look like you could use some sleep. I'll be in touch." "Very good, sir," Derek answered. "Derek, you've earned this win. I know it came at a terrible cost. It always does, but I'm proud of you." Derek cleared his throat. "Thank you, sir." When Donovan left, Derek stood staring at the closed door for several heartbeats before grabbing his jacket and heading to the hospital. Hands shoved in his pockets, he jogged the few blocks to the back entrance. He felt winter's approach in the biting wind against his face and in the smell of snow lingering in the air. Sliding his keycard into the reader, he waited for the click and entered the warm building. He found Kaylee behind a workstation, tapping notes into a portable tablet. A strand of blonde hair escaped its tie, and she brushed it behind her ear. Derek leaned against the wall, watching her from a distance. He knew the second she sensed him. Her body shifted, and her head tilted as if she were listening to some distant music. Turning, she gave him a weary smile. "Hey," he said, approaching her with his own tired smile. "Things seem quieter around here." "We're at capacity with patients, but it's under control, finally," she replied. "Will you come home tonight?" he asked, holding her gaze. "Yes, I'm almost finished, if you want to wait." Nodding, he found an empty chair and sat. He loved watching Kaylee work. She was in her element, confident yet gentle with both her patients and her staff. Healing was more than just what she did. It was who she was. True to her word, she finished in less than a quarter hour. After giving brief final instructions to another doctor, they left the ward. "We need to stop downstairs," Derek said. "Okay," she answered. He felt her tense slightly and heard the question in her voice, but she kept walking. Instead of exiting through the back, they made their way to a lift.
The security panel required a handprint and a retinal scan. Derek leaned forward, allowing the beam to sweep across his left eye. When the door slid open, they stepped in. Derek and Finn had repurposed much of Marcus's underground bunker space for the military's operational command, but it was an extensive network left over from Almagest's first civilization, and it ran underneath a good portion of the city. When the casualties poured in from the battlefield, they'd quickly converted this space to a hospital wing and locked it down. Only a select few people knew about the patients being cared for down here.
"Sir, ma'am," the security guard inside the ward greeted them. "Anything I should know?" Derek asked. "No, sir. Everything's quiet." "Very good."
"I was down here for a couple of hours today," Kaylee said. "All of them are stable and most are conscious."
"Good," Derek answered.
"What are we doing?" she asked. His mouth compressed into a thin line. "I need an answer." Kaylee cringed. "Derek, I don't want to question him."
"I know," he said.
He stopped and put a hand on her arm.
"You won't need to, but I do have to know if he's telling the truth."
She sighed.
"Okay."
They walked through a corridor and entered a quiet room. Dim overhead lights cast dull shadows on the sleeping patient's face. One hand was secured to the bed with a heavy metal cuff. When Kaylee and Derek approached, the Drakkaran opened his eyes.
Kaylee, Chapter 28. Kaylee softened her expression as she leaned over the prisoner and checked his vitals.
"How are you feeling?" she asked.
The Drakkaran glanced nervously at Derek and then back at Kaylee. He didn't answer. Unperturbed by his lack of response, Kaylee continued her cursory examination.
"You're healing nicely," she said.
When Drakkaran survivors were discovered alongside their own injured, Derek recommended they be isolated. Kaylee went further, insisting their presence be kept from Alliance command. After they shared an abbreviated version of Karan's revelation with Ben Glass and Finn, the others agreed the wounded Drakkaran prisoners should not be turned over to the Alliance, at least not right away. In her interactions with them, Kaylee sensed the Drakkaran's fear, something they'd previously worked hard to hide. Likely they no longer had any reason other than pride to conceal their desperation. Derek must have felt this shift as well, at least from the injured man in front of him. He pulled a chair up to the Drakkaran's bedside.
"I'm going to ask you a question, and don't bother lying."
The Drakkaran stared back at Derek. Kaylee placed a gentle hand on the man's shoulder. His eyes darted back and forth from Derek to Kaylee, finally settling back on Derek.
"Was the last of your military fleet destroyed in this battle?"
Kaylee watched the man struggle to keep emotion off his face. Finally, he closed his eyes and turned his head away from Derek.
"Yes." "Do you have civilians hiding somewhere?" Derek asked.
Kaylee had witnessed Derek interrogate prisoners before. She dreaded those encounters, the change in him, his ability to show icy callousness or contained violence depending on the scenario, always unsettled her. There was none of that in his demeanor now.
"Yes,"
the Drakkaran answered, still facing away from them. Derek sat back in his chair. Kaylee raised her eyebrows at him, questioning. Before Derek could say anything else, the Drakkaran spoke again, his voice soft and strained.
"They are all that's left of our people."
Derek looked pointedly at Kaylee.
"I have to know if he's telling the truth."
Kaylee gave Derek a slight nod. Unlike Karan's wall of defense, this man's crumbled easily. She pushed her way into his mind, searching only for the answer to Derek's question. In the Drakkaran's mind, she found the truth of his words.
Kaylee sipped hot tea laced with something strong and biting. It burned going down but warmed her insides.
Dorian Bell had wordlessly set the steaming cup in front of her and handed Derek his own drink as soon as they'd entered the tavern.
"Long day," he asked, returning with two bowls of stew and a fragrant loaf of bread.
Kaylee dug into the bread, handing a warm chunk to Derek and inhaling the comforting aroma. She smiled at Dorian.
"Want to sit with us for a little while?" she asked.
He pulled out a chair.
Are you two taking care of yourselves? You both look exhausted.
When Kaylee's home had been destroyed, and the small group of Navali survivors had arrived in Almagest broken and bleeding, Dorian's was the first friendly face Kaylee had encountered. A cook at the hospital, who also owned the tavern in which they now sat. Dorian had been a resistance member, his tavern a safe meeting place for the group.
"We're heading home after this. I'm ready for a good night's sleep," Kaylee said.
"Good. That drink will help," he said, nodding at her tea.
The background hum of chatter, the subdued laughter, the smell of cooking food, all felt normal. Dorian, still caring for people in his way, felt like home, safety. Kaylee needed that now, and she knew Derek did too. They talked about simple, ordinary things for a few minutes before Dorian left, tending to more of his hungry customers. Derek reached across the table and ran his thumb over Kaylee's wrist.
"What are we going to do about them?" she asked,
her thoughts returning to the Drakkaran prisoners locked in the hospital.
"I don't know. Tomorrow we'll talk to Ben."
Derek took a long swallow of his drink.
"Donovan came by earlier."
Catching the tone of his voice, Kaylee put down her spoon.
"What did he have to say?"
"Reyes is trying to convince Minister Bonaire to go after the remaining Drakkarans and finish them off."
"Does Reyes know there are no military targets left?"
"Yes," he answered.
Kaylee swallowed, processing the implications.
"Why would he want to do that?"
Derek shrugged.
"He's trying to convince the Assembly that the Drakkarans still pose a significant threat when he knows they don't. I don't fully understand what's going on either, but I think we're going to have to do something soon. We have to find a way to expose him."
Kaylee's eyes widened, her mouth suddenly going dry.
"Why does it have to be us?" she whispered.
But even as she spoke the words, she knew the answer. They'd invested too much, lost too much, to let this corruption go unchallenged. And they were the only ones who knew the truth. The next morning, Derek spoke to Ben, who confirmed that the Drakkarans should remain in custody on Almagest until he knew they'd be treated fairly as prisoners of war and not tortured or killed. Worried about the civilian refugees being tracked down by Reyes, Derek suggested they try to make contact with them. Ben agreed. Derek and Kaylee returned to the underground hospital wing and approached the same Drakkaran they had the previous night.
"Your civilians are in danger," Derek told him bluntly. "If the Admiral of the Alliance fleet discovers their location, he will destroy them."
The Drakkaran flinched.
"Can you communicate with them?"
The Drakkaran's expression went blank.
"Why would I do that?" he asked.
"You can give them a message. Tell them to stay on the move until they hear directly from you again."
Open suspicion now clouded the prisoner's face.
"You are Alliance. Why would I believe you want to help us? The war is over. We won. There is no justification for wiping out civilians," Derek said.
Kaylee could feel his growing frustration.
"We want to save your children, but you have to help us," she added, holding the man's gaze.
She could sense his inner struggle. Despite his effort to hide his feelings, a glimmer of hope fought its way into his eyes.
"We're telling you the truth. If you want, I can prove it to you," she offered.
His head sank back onto his pillow.
"No, I'll send them the message."
Derek stood.
"Can you walk?" he asked.
The Drakkaran nodded. Derek opened the door and gave quiet instructions to the guard. A few minutes later, a heavily armed detail secured the Drakkaran's hands behind his back and, weapons drawn, marched him out. Finn met them in the operations center and motioned for the Drakkaran to sit. One guard freed the man's hands and then put a gun to the back of his skull. A muscle twitched in the Drakkaran's cheek. Otherwise, he was still.
"Go ahead," Derek said.
Glancing at Derek, the Drakkaran entered a stream of data. An artificial voice prompted him to begin his message. Kaylee watched him swallow hard and close his eyes, as if this decision to speak were the most important of his life, which, in all likelihood, it was.
"This is Commander Jai Akash of the battleship Antim, 5th Squadron," he said.
So much remained unsettled. Between the prisoners in the bunker, the unrest within the Alliance, and the toxic information she carried about Reyes,
Kaylee could barely concentrate on her patients. Finished with her shift, but knowing the apartment would be empty if she went home, she hid out in her tiny office, trying to stave off her growing dread. The blink of her communication tablet caught her eye. A long-range message. Encrypted. Curious, she tapped it open. It was Sean Asher. He'd brokered a deal to produce a limited amount of a trial medication that needed testing on live subjects. "What do you want me to do now?" he asked. She typed a message back. "Come to Almacast." When he arrived a week later, Kaylee had already spoken with Dr. Gates, who agreed to oversee the trial with her if the Drakkaran prisoners agreed to it. Kaylee wanted to read the reports and analyze all of the information before she was willing to approach the Drakkarans about a potential therapy. Sean brought everything with him to the apartment where he, Kaylee, and Derek were now having a quiet dinner.
"What the hell is happening on Corleone?" Sean asked, shoveling food into his mouth.
Passing Sean the serving platter, Derek told him what they knew.
"Ray, this is up to something," Sean said.
Derek agreed. The conversation trailed off, everyone lost in their own thoughts.
"How's Nysa?" Kaylee finally asked, breaking the silence.
Sean's expression softened, and he pulled a small handheld tablet from his bag. An image of a young girl appeared on the screen, a broad, carefree smile lighting up her face. Kaylee took it, looking from the screen to Sean and back again.
"I don't know how to thank you for this," she said, swiping a tear from her cheek.
He took the tablet back.
"You don't need to thank me for all the shitty things I've had to do. Maybe giving Nysa her life back evens things out a little."
Kaylee started to speak, but stopped herself. She trusted Sean, believed him to be a good man, but she also had no idea what he'd done in order to survive this war. Instead of offering empty words, she refilled all their cups and sat back down. By the next day, Kaylee had reviewed enough data on the drug therapy to understand the developer's approach. She found herself back in the room with Jai Akash. No longer cuffed to his bed, the Drakkaran sat in a chair in the corner of the room, his expression blank. He barely looked at Kaylee when she entered. An armed guard stood at the door.
"I'll be fine," she said to the guard.
The soldier hesitated.
"You can stand just outside the door," Kaylee insisted.
With a curt nod, he left the room. She sat in the chair opposite Akash, placing her tablet on the table between them.
"You aren't afraid?" he asked, tilting his head.
"I'm the one who healed your wounds with my mind. You don't think I could do the opposite if I felt threatened by you?" A brief flicker of surprise passed over his face and disappeared quickly.
"You know who I am, who my people are," she asked more gently.
"Yes."
Nodding, she continued. "When I was on Mira, I began researching a therapy, not just to treat your symptoms, but to actually repair your damaged DNA. Kaylee placed the tablet flat between them and tapped. A three-dimensional image materialized above the screen. Akash leaned in.
"Here are the damaged nucleotides, and here are their healthy counterparts from my own DNA," she said, pointing. "I never got a chance to experiment with synthesizing compounds, but we found someone who could. I have the first round of trials here, ready to be tested. I've analyzed them, and as far as I can tell, they're promising."
She sat back, waiting for Akash. His eyes lingered on the spinning models a moment longer before looking up at Kaylee.
"You want to test them on us?"
"Yes."
He stared at Kaylee, his piercing brown eyes boring into her.
"Do it."
Derek, Chapter 29. The Assembly just enacted Section 7 and removed Minister Bonaire from office, Donovan grimly told the group seated at the back corner table in Dorian's tavern. Kat swore softly. Drew and Sean both clutched their drinks tighter, and Derek ran a hand over his head.
Shit!
Kaylee looked between Donovan and Derek.
What does that mean?
Section 7 is essentially a vote of no confidence that immediately removes the sitting minister from office, Donovan explained. It's hard to pull off and requires a 4/5 majority from the Assembly.
Reyes convinced them that Bonair's refusal to pursue the remainder of the Drakkaran fleet will lead the Alliance back into war.
That's why he's pushing this bullshit so hard. Removing the minister must have been his endgame, Derek said, tapping his fingers on the rim of his glass.
And the vice minister resigned in protest, Donovan added.
Who gets the seat? Kat asked.
The Assembly has the authority to appoint someone. They went with Ray's recommendation, someone named Athanas.
I don't know him, Donovan answered.
Kat snorted.
Convenient.
That name sounds familiar, but I'm not sure why, Sean said, frowning. I'll do some digging.
We have to find a way to expose Reyes, Derek said.
Agreed. I was able to give Minister Bonair a report, but we were never able to communicate again after that. We have no idea who else is complicit.
This is ugly territory, Donovan said, sighing.
There's no point in going up against Reyes about the Drakkarans. We've been at war for too long, and emotions are too high. The Assembly trusts him. Hell, we all trusted him. We have to prove he could have ended this war 12 years ago, but didn't, Derek said.
Arendal is the proof, Drew said, staring into his glass.
Rubbing his thumb along the rim of his drink, Derek thought,
We have to bring back evidence that there's no biological contamination on Arendal. The Assembly won't be able to ignore it. They'll have to open an investigation.
Horizon has been ordered back to Corleone. Our repairs are nearly complete. We won't be able to stay off the grid for very long, Donovan said.
It would be a bad idea to use Alliance assets. Reyes can't get so much as a hint about what we're doing, Derek said.
What are we doing, Derek? How are we going to get to Arendal? Kat asked.
Meeting her gaze, he replied, Almagest has a ship. It was going to be the third one in the fleet. She was ready for launch before the battle, but we didn't have a command crew trained on her yet. She can be flight ready in a matter of days.
She's not an Alliance ship, so her whereabouts won't be tracked by the Alliance, Kat said, a hint of a smile on her face.
We won't be able to enter Arendal's airspace undetected. If there's something to hide, that could be problematic.
Drew's voice trailed off, but he'd made his point. Leaning back in his chair, Donovan ran a hand over his chin.
Horizon's stealth shielding could be integrated onto your ship, Derek.
I don't want to leave Horizon vulnerable, Derek answered, shaking his head.
Vulnerable to what? The war's over. We shouldn't need that tech anymore. Not immediately, anyway.
Are you sure, sir?
Something corrupt is taking root in the Alliance, Donovan said, his face grim.
Maybe it's been there all along. If we have a chance to kill it at its source, we have to take it.
We can fly with a minimal crew, Derek said, his mind already rushing ahead.
I'll lend you whoever you need, replied Donovan.
Derek looked around the table.
I can't ask any of you to do this.
Don't be ridiculous, Kat cut him off. Of course you can.
I have to know the truth, Drew said, his jaw set. I'm in too. No one's looking for me right now anyway, Sean said.
I'm coming, Kaylee added.
Derek hesitated, but knew this was an argument he wouldn't win.
Get me a short list of additional personnel, Donovan said.
Thank you, sir. Turning back to Kaylee, Derek said, We have to ask Ben Glass. I don't think he'll refuse us this, but he's already risking Almagest's membership status by hiding the wounded Drakkarans and agreeing to run the drug trials here. He deserves to know what we're up to, and I don't want to steal his ship.
They'd voted on the name of the first ship in Almagest's new fleet. It started out as a fun, competitive contest among the pilots and ended with a runoff between the two most popular choices. Ben Glass, as the first elected president, got to name the second ship, and Derek had been honored with naming rights for the third. He'd chosen Equinox, after the small ship he'd crashed on Almagest years ago. He'd thought twice about it, not wanting to confer bad luck on its namesake, but his friend and co-pilot had died on the first Equinox. This seemed one small way to honor Tommy, and to commemorate the mission that had changed the course of Derek's own life. This Equinox was nothing like the first. He stared at her in awe. A battleship with a full fighter complement, she rivaled Horizon for speed and agility, but her engine design promised more power. Built to help protect the planet, she carried all the latest Alliance technology and weaponry. Even craning his neck, he couldn't see the bridge from where he stood. Derek had only planned to have the first three ships built on the ground.
design work was already underway on an orbiting facility that would handle all future, large-scale construction. He was glad they hadn't started work on it yet, since, in all likelihood, it would have been destroyed in the battle. At least this was one thing they wouldn't have to rebuild. Wandering through the large, empty hangar, Derek struggled with leaving Almagest. There was so much work to do, and his devastated pilots and ground crew needed him. If he was honest, he needed them, too. He needed to do the work of healing right alongside them. But he had to find the truth, for the sake of everyone who'd fought and died in this war. "We started the drug trial today," Kaylee said, her head resting on Derek's chest. "Do you think it's going to work?" he asked. "I do. The delivery vector targets the damaged sequences precisely. It's elegant. The nitrogenous base pair in the first nucleotide." She stopped and lifted her head. "You aren't listening."
"Sorry, it's riveting," he teased.
"Next time you want to tell me about the engine specs of a battle-class cruiser, I'm going to start snoring." "Sorry," he repeated, pulling her in and kissing her hard. "I am interested, and I do hope it works. I'm just distracted." "I know. Is the stealth shield integrating smoothly on Equinox?" she asked.
"It is. We're running the last set of diagnostics tomorrow."
He paused and let his head sink back onto the pillow.
"I wonder what we're going to find on Arendal." "Answers," Kaylee said softly. "Or maybe more questions."
Kaylee, Chapter 30. Kaylee wandered through Equinox. The ship's layout was similar enough to Horizon's that she didn't get lost, but the quiet corridors and empty rooms felt strange. She stayed away from the common areas, which should have been alive with noise and humanity, but instead looked new and shiny and empty. The sparse crew included officers handpicked by Derek or Captain Donovan. All had been briefed on the sensitive nature of the mission. All had been given a chance to decline without repercussions. Donovan's leadership instilled loyalty and trust among his crew, and Derek's service record spoke for itself. Everyone had accepted. When Kaylee returned to the bridge, she found Derek pacing. From her limited interplanetary travel experience, she'd learned that once the ship had cleared the system, it functioned nearly autonomously. Unless something went wrong, there wasn't much to do during this part of the journey but wait, and Derek hated waiting.
"Hungry?" she asked him. "We can take a walk to the mess hall." He shook his head. "Want to give me an official tour?" she asked. He stopped pacing.
"Are you trying to distract me?"
She smiled.
"I am.
I could feel your agitation all the way to sick bay." Rubbing the back of his neck with one hand, he acquiesced.
"I want to check on Reese anyway."
On their way out, Kat caught Kaylee's eye and mouthed a "thank you" behind Derek's back.
"I may have been driving them a little crazy,"
Derek admitted. Kaylee smirked. "You may have." She followed him through the desolate corridors to a workspace outside engineering. Reese sat on the ground with tools, scanners, and some kind of mechanical parts spread haphazardly around him. Muttering to himself, he didn't notice Derek and Kaylee enter. Grinning, Derek cleared his throat. Reese jumped to his feet.
"Sorry, sir. I didn't hear you."
"It's okay. I just came to see how you're doing with the sensors."
"I'm retrofitting the bioscanners into the drones now. I don't want to compromise camera function or any other data collection, so I've had to make some modifications. Almost finished."
Kaylee smiled at the skeptical look on Derek's face as he surveyed the mess.
"These drones look much larger than the little ones you like to use," she said.
Reese's face lit up.
"Yes, they carry all kinds of sensors. Everything'll tuck inside the outer shell neatly for atmospheric entry, and then open up when it's time to start reading data. But they're small enough to behave like space debris. No one will look twice if anyone's looking."
"Great work, as always, Reese,"
Derek said, clapping his hand to the man's shoulder.
"Thank you, sir."
Kaylee and Derek headed for the door when Reese cleared his throat.
"Dr. Chris."
Kaylee stopped and turned.
"I'm, really glad you're okay. We were all worried. When we heard you were missing..."
he stammered. The sting of tears caught her off guard. Swallowing back the lump in her throat, she said,
"Thank you, Reese. I've really missed you."
The young officer blushed a deep red.
"That boy has a serious crush on you," Derek said, when the door slid shut behind them.
"He's sweet," Kaylee said, smiling.
"And smart. The sensor he's rigged will pick up spores, viral pathogens, bacteria, pretty much any biological or chemical contamination."